So the scripture lesson today is from Mark, and this is Mark 12, 38 through 44. And in his teaching, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and light greetings in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and the best honor at feast, who devour widows' houses and for the pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater commendation." And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, but a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than those who are contributing to the offering box, for all they contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put everything she had, all she had to live on. So I called this for the right reasons." And so at the beginning, remember last week I talked about scribes. Does anybody remember what I said scribes were supposed to do? What? Interpret or law, remember? So they were not supposed to be paid for that. So that's part of this story. And so the scribes wore the long robes. Anita talked about the tassels. They wanted to make sure that everybody knew how important they were. They wanted everybody to see how great they were. They weren't in no hurry. They didn't really work. Everybody knew they were men of leisure. And so they did that by bringing attention to themselves. And so one of the things they would do when you had dinner, they would always have the best seat. So the host always got to sit at the center of the table. If you think of the picture that we see of the Lord's Supper, the host sat at the center of the table. And the first best seat was on the right of the host, and the second best seat was on the left of the host. And the farther you got away from the host, the less important you were. So the scribes always wanted to make sure that they were right there. So I told you they weren't supposed to be paid for their legal work. But when he talks in that scripture about stealing the poor people's money, the widows, they would make them feel like they should pay them for the work that they were doing, even though they weren't supposed to. And what Jesus was saying to them was, you're taking the people that have the least amount and you're really asking the most from them. And he said, so you're taking advantage of the people. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And so their desire really was for prominence, that everyone knew they were important. It was a church office that they felt like they earned because of what they did, but they didn't really care about the service they offered back to the community because they expected to be reimbursed for it, even though they weren't supposed to. So it warns us about this idea of being noticed, our desire to be noticed. So Purdue's football stadium, since somebody already talked about it, who's it named after? Ross Aid, right? I'm not even a Purdue guy, and I know that. Who is a Purdue guy that was telling me how great Purdue was earlier? Wasn't it you, TJ?
But I'm not a Purdue guy.
Okay. So I'll make this easier for you. Drive through Ball State, and all the buildings are named. They're named after somebody. Mostly it's because either that person gave a lot of money for that building or they were prominent in the campaign to get the money for the building. So the basketball arena is Worthen's Arena. Schumann Stadium is named after the Schumann family. I found out a couple weeks ago, I didn't know this, I don't know how I missed this, but my stepbrother is married to one of the Schumann's daughters. And who knew? Didn't know. But they have their names on them, and it's usually because they gave money. And so I always worry about that in a way, because I wonder if they gave it for the right reason. If Ball State would have said, well, we'll let you give us however many million dollars the football stadium renovation cost, but your name isn't going to be on it, would it have been the same? Or Worthen Arena, or any of those buildings. And it's the same at Purdue, and the colleges do it too, so I knew a little bit about Purdue. So the Purdue Ag is called the Kennard or Kennard School. And so Mr. Kennard or Kennard, however you pronounce it, apparently gave money or helped with the fundraising for that. You have the Kelly School of Business at IU, because I'm going to try to hit all the big ones today so I don't leave anybody out. And so they've all done that. But was it to be noticed, or did they do it for the right reasons? And so what Jesus is saying in this is, why did you do this religious work to the scribes? Did you give money just because you think God's going to take care of you? Now, there's a whole group of churches right now that think the more money you give, the more blessings you're going to get. And I can go through different parts of the Bible, and you can find a scripture that says for the blessings you'll give, you'll receive many more. But I don't see where it's a tit for tat. But somewhere along the line, you have whole churches that are set up on that, where pastors will say, well, if you just gave more, God would bless you more. And I still don't really get that, but that's out there. So are you doing it just for self-gain, self-advancement? Or are you doing it because you feel God's leading you to do whatever you're doing? So whether it's the Christmas boxes, we talked about angel trees. Steve mentioned another one that I wasn't familiar with. Steve? you mentioned the giving to children today. What was it called? Okay. It'll come to him later. Apparently not now, though. And so why did you do these things? Did you do it because you think, well, I'll earn brownie points, and the more I help other people, then things will be good for me? Well, that's not, it's not the more you put in, the more you get out. That's just not the way this works. And that's really what this part of this scripture is talking about. You give because you feel like it's the right thing to do, that God has led you to do those things. You're not doing it because you expect something back. So then, I used to think that these two stories, even though a lot of times in scripture lessons they put them together, I've always had a hard time telling how they went together exactly, but apparently I'm smarter this week, so I've kind of figured this out. So the widow comes up there, and when they say the smallest, it really meant two things. It literally was the smallest coin, and it had the less value. So in the version I read today, it said it was worth a penny. Okay, and for us, can we buy anything with a penny? Would you guys ever think about giving a penny to someone? The only pennies I give are at the store. If I'm going to get 3 cents back and there's a thing there to put pennies in, a lot of times I let them keep the pennies for the next person, because I don't really like getting $1 zillion in change. But we don't really think about donating a penny. But here this widow came and she gave everything she could. So in this part of the story, it's talking about, well, what kind of a sacrifice is this? If you make, somebody gave me a big number.
Five.
Big number. Not your age. Big number. How much? 10,000.
5 trillion.
So 5 trillion. So let's say you make $5 trillion a year. If you throw in two pennies, I mean, that's nothing, right? So at $5 trillion, how much money do you have to, what's a sacrificial gift? I don't know. I've never seen $5 trillion. It's a big number. But whether it's a million or 100,000, depending on what you have, some gifts mean more than others. What Jesus is telling us in this story, it's not the amount of the gift that's important. It's what kind of a sacrifice. What is the real cost to you? So in this case, the widow, she really gave everything. And she didn't try to keep it. So in our case, if we're willing to make a donation to whatever cause we think is worthy, what amount are we willing to do where it affects what things we like to do? So whether you like to travel, play golf, how much are you willing to give that interferes with those things that you like to do? And that's what he's saying. That's a real sacrifice. And so his suggestion is, to make a real sacrifice, we have to be a little reckless. That we give more without thinking about, well, you know what? I've got to keep $2.5 trillion for me. Or I've got to keep 50,000 or whatever that number is. Because you're afraid things aren't going to work out for you, that something bad's going to happen. And so I put on here, you're willing to give enough that you don't hold back because you're worried about something else happening. At the church I was at before, there was a couple And they're quite elderly. They're way older than anybody in this church, even Bill, by like 10 years. They're way older, way, way older. And he loved to give away the money he'd accumulated. It scared her to death because she was always afraid they would outlive whatever they had left. And he always told her, don't worry about it. God will take care of us. That's what I'm talking about here. If you're always worried about, am I going to have enough? Am I going to have enough? Am I going to have enough? Then you're not giving recklessly like he described here. And what I think this really comes down to is, do we really trust Jesus? If we give more than we think we're supposed to, if we give recklessly, whatever that is for each of us, are we not going to do that because we're afraid something's going to happen to us? Or do we have trust in Jesus? And so a lot of times we say, oh yeah, I trust the Lord. But then something happens and you go, well, I sort of kind of trust the Lord, but I'm going to try to hoard some stuff back just to take care of me in case I'm wrong. Well, if you're there, then you're not really trusting. You're sort of kind of trusting, almost maybe trusting. But if you really trust and you're supposed to do something, you'll do it because you have that 100% faith, that 100% trust. And I think a lot of times, I did this in an evening service. I used some John Wesley sermons. And he has one that he calls Almost a Christian. And if anybody wants to read, so I have to say sorry first. I used a book last week, and I don't remember if I did it in this service or the evening service. Somebody wanted to read it. I can't find it, okay? But this book I'm going to tell you now about, I really have. It's John Wesley's sermons. And one of them is called Almost Being a Christian. And the whole idea of the sermon is you'll do all this stuff because you think that the Lord wants you to do them, and you almost get to the edge where you're going to take that kind of final step and be really trusting. And just before you get there, you go, no, I'm going to step back because I'm not really, really sure. That's what this is about. Do you really trust or you just kind of trust? In the widow's mite story, the widow knew that the Lord was going to take care of her, even if she gave her last two pennies, her last two coins that equaled a penny. But in her case, she gave everything. Now, everything doesn't have to be money. Everything sometimes is our faith. Are we willing to step out and help somebody else? So this week, think about that. See where you're at in that walk with Jesus and what it is you need to do. And that might be something you pray for during our communion time.